Beware. The following episode includes spoilers.
HBO Max gives us is our special episodes.
Was that before? Yeah, because that was after Kong.
Yeah,
so that would have been the last one, Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, we decided that it would be a good time to talk about Suicide Squad, what was on everybody's mind.
Sure. Did you ever watch the first one?
No, I still haven't seen it.
You should. I feel like you can't truly appreciate, you can't appreciate that this movie is still like a million times better than that film. This movie could have been James Gunn jerking off on film for an hour and 40 minutes and it still would have been a better film than the first one.
Yeah, I saw about 10 minutes of it, but I never saw a whole movie. It was on HBO and I had seen enough that I'm like...
Somebody, I saw a thing today because people keep bringing up they want the Ayer cut for that. Since that movie was like butchered, and they're like, and I guess somebody was like either an executive or someone that worked on the film, and they said we screened David Ayer's cut and it tested the exact same way as the cut that went to theaters. They're like they're kind of like, it's just not a good movie.
Yeah, I think the thing that the beginning of this movie was not really like connecting with me, and it didn't feel the funniest, but then when they revealed who, like, it wasn't that Suicide Squad, it was this Suicide Squad.
Yeah,
I thought things started getting like really funny from that point on.
Yeah, it's a weird start when it's just like all these random characters, and you know, like obviously when they're all getting annihilated on that beach, and you're just like, what? Like, I don't understand. I think the one I was
I really did love the weasel that
the weasel the minute the weasel they jumped, my favorite he's like thing.
The first to go.
Did anyone check and see if the weasel could swim?
Yeah, he just drowns and dies.
It's like, that's such a funny start.
They did do a really good job of surprising me right out the gate, because I was not prepared for everyone to die. Like, I literally just thought
maybe you should say spoilers.
I think I did.
Did you?
You know what? I don't think if I didn't, I will add it.
You should add. Yeah, you might want to add that. I don't think we did.
We're getting into it.
We're getting right into
it. Wait, I'm spoiling what? The first 1 minute of the movie?
Yeah, but come on. It's the Suicide Squad. You know, they're your heroes.
Yeah, I think that they do a really good job of, like, they pick all these characters that I don't really know much about, or if I've heard anything about, I would never want to see a movie about them, which at the same time is sort of where James Gunn gets away with being able to murder more than half of them.
I can say I've never heard of any of these characters in any way, shape, or form other than Harley Quinn and King Shark. Like, I don't even know Idris Elba's character from the comics. Or
I heard of the polka dot man before, but I think it was just because it was like that he existed. Like,
yeah.
Spider-Man had Stilt Man. They're like, this guy actually exists as a villain.
Yeah, this really is one of those. In the first movie, even, the only ones I knew was Harley Quinn, Deadshot, which is Will Smith's character, and Killer Crocs in the first film. Those are the only three that I even recognized out of that film.
Not even like Boomerang?
No, I've never read anything that he's been in.
Yeah, some of these things are like, see, I don't know. Where
their powers are great, though. Like, Nathan Fillion, the detachable kid, is like such a stupid, like... That's a great moment when you think about like when you really start like looking at this team and you're like, their powers are all horrible, like they're all so stupid, like
they immediately reminded anything. Me of Mystery Men. My first thought was like, they all have like these powers that are like awful.
Basically,
the javelin guy, that's like, that was his power.
It's just his powers. He has a javelin. We don't even know what like most of their powers are.
He reminds
me
of William H. Macy, who's the shoveler or whatever.
Yeah, we don't know what Pete Davidson's character. What his power was, we like never even really get to even know what their deal is. When you said Mystery Men, though, I will say that kind of jumping ahead, but the Thinker made me think of like a Mystery Men character too. Like he just has those random electrodes in his head. They make you think good. Yeah, they make me think good.
Like a spleen or something.
Yeah.
What's your ability? Like I'm smart.
Yeah. We never really see that he does anything. Like it's not like those have given him like some sort of like the intelligence has made him any better at anything. He's just slightly smarter than a normal person.
Yeah, I kind of was expecting him to like really betray them. And I mean, I guess to some degree he does, but not like the like mastermind thought.
Like his thing to have like it gave him like telekinetic abilities or something like that. And it really doesn't do anything. He's just slightly smarter than an average person.
He fits for like kind of building up Starro, which I think is actually kind of like a really nicely built up thing.
Yeah,
it's we can get more into him towards the end, but like I loved that villain. I thought he was very good.
Yeah.
And something that probably it's surprising that he's even in a movie.
Yeah,
I think he actually made it.
Once we get past the first squad and we get to the second squad that you know B team that comes in, I do really love their introduction as well, especially like John Cena when she literally word for word gives the exact description that she did for Idris Elba. Like he was a soldier trained from birth, never misses a target. And he's like, oh, I thought you said you picked people for their individual abilities. He does the same things I do. And John Cena is just like, yeah, better.
Yeah. Cena's very good. I do like the title card where like they came right out of the ocean where they're like, send the B squad. Like these people were just a distraction. Yeah. And it was really funny then to like throw it back into the last like 3 days. Also, I really love the title cards all over.
The title cards all over were like the funniest. Like the way they like he perfectly like segued into them, like the Operation Jotunheim, and then Rick Flag's like, wait, we gotta do something, and it like blows the smoke and it's like Operation Harley. Or like the elevator button that's like Lies and Secrets or something like that. Like the way he did those transitions were really fun.
Yeah, or some of them definitely seemed like real world props. They didn't seem like special effects, I'm not really sure. Like they did a really good job of too, where like they picked James Gunn was a good director to pick because they clearly when they had the idea of doing the first Suicide Squad,
it was right after Guardians.
It was right after Guardians. I feel like Guardians kind of like ends, like you know how people try to jump on like their version of things. I think that's what they wanted. They wanted James Gunn from the beginning, and they had like a piss poor movie. Apparently,
they wanted the it was the same thing, like wacky side characters that no one really cares about that you can kind of do whatever you want with, and even in that.
But it also has that R rating, so I feel like this is like James Gunn not held back.
I feel like he probably did have, he might have had more fun on this than he did with like Guardians, just because he was just able to go as crazy as he wanted to.
Yeah, and Guardians seems really good, and I feel like sometimes when you get like the PG-13 movies, they're kind of like held back a little bit, and they end up being a little bit more creative. Guardians 2, I think, is okay. My favorite thing is like Kurt Russell and the relationship with Kurt Russell, but the whole movie is not as funny.
It's not as good as the first one.
It doesn't work like the first one, and this one felt more like a spiritual sequel to Guardians. It literally just felt like Guardians with different characters.
Yeah, different characters in an R rating.
Yeah, like yeah, I funny. Some of that stuff was so funny. Like I loved when they went and they were having the competition between Idris Elba and John Cena, and they were murdering all the people. But then when they got to the tent to save what's his name?
Rick Flag.
Yeah, when they went to go save Rick Flag, he was just enjoying tea, and it was like you found out that they were like the rebels.
Yeah, why didn't my people tell me that you guys arrived? And they're like, I didn't see any people. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that's great, where they like just violently took them all out.
Yeah, that whole scene plays out really good. I do like, though, like kind of how you described it being feeling like it's a sequel to that first Guardians film, or like it fits in. I feel like it does, but at the same time, I think he was smart enough to not make it like give it its own identity. Like he doesn't do the music drops all over the place in the same way that he does Guardians. Like, I feel like he wanted to keep that as like a, that's what I do in Guardians of the Galaxy. It's not something I'm going to do. Like, I'm not just going to play a song for every single character. Like, there's only a handful of times where he does get into like a musical accompaniment to a scene.
There's moments where the rat, they're like, is that rat waving at me? Reminds me of like, is that raccoon talking? Well, you know, like, yeah, they seemed really similar in that aspect.
There's stuff that feels, yeah, that feels connected, or like King Shark just feels like a slightly more evolved version of Groot. Like, he only has a slightly better grasp on vocabulary.
Yeah, he was good. He's a great character, and I don't know if it's because I'm like, I've like fantasized about the land shark character.
I know. I love sharks. Like, the whole
street
was,
sharks.
Yeah, that was like the whole thing. Was like, I'm like, oh, I love King Shark, and Sylvester Stallone's funny as the voice for him.
Him, and like, I really like the girl that played Ratcatcher too.
Yeah, I thought all of them like played really well. Like, they actually had like a really like funny chemistry. Like, one of the best scenes is when King Shark's gonna like eat her, and she's like completely asleep while he's like shoving her into his mouth, and then they all wake up and they start freaking out, and John Cena's just in his underwear the entire time, and like he's mocking everybody. It's like, what are you doing in your tighty whities? It's like, I think that's racist, first off. there's a lot of great moments there, of them playing off each other.
Yeah, I like all the flashbacks with her father. I do like where they're like, Ratcatcher 2, what happened to the first one?
Couldn't get Ratcatcher 1, he's dead. Yeah, it was such a random cameo for Ratcatcher 1.
I think he was supposed to play like a bigger character, from what I understood.
That's what I heard. James Gunn say.
He said no, he couldn't do it, and then the pandemic like ruined his Akira project, so
yeah,
he was like, I guess I can do something.
Yeah, I did hear that from James Gunn, that he was supposed to be a different character, I guess, initially, but
he said too he didn't watch the Harley Quinn movie at all. He wasn't even aware that there was one when he had written this movie.
I didn't watch the Harley Quinn movie either, so.
Oh, you should watch it. I really liked it.
I kept thinking that I was going to watch it before this came out, and then I was like, it came out, I'll watch it later or something.
I thought it was really good. It has a really good character death in it too that I think you'll appreciate. It's just like way more violent than it needs to be, but in a good way, like an unexpected kind of way. But no, I like, for the most part, I didn't see Suicide Squad because I've heard so much bad things about it, and I had not watched the regular Justice League that came out in theaters. But for the most part, like, I don't like Batman vs. Superman, but I think the DC movies have been somewhere between, like, decent to very good. I really liked Shazam.
Yeah, Shazam was fun.
Aquaman was okay.
Yeah.
Same thing with, like, the new Zack Snyder's cut of Justice League. I thought that movie was good, but I felt, like, maybe too long. Like, I don't really think, I don't know. You might have some okay ideas, but I don't think that Snyder's like a good concept guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was a hell of a lot of fun, and I just like, there's so many funny things in it too that like it totally relies on like the charisma of the actors. I really like the moment where Milton gets shot in the head, and they're like, Milton died, and they're like, who the hell's Milton?
yeah, she's like, who's Milton? And Idris Elba's like, Milton was with us? He's like, yeah, and he's like, he's been with us the whole time. Where did you think he was? I thought he was still in the van.
Like, why would he come with us?
Why would he come with us? Because he was helping us. Yeah,
I really did laugh when they went into the building, the main building, and they're all like in their get-up, and Milton was dressed like how I would dress, probably, like
flip-flops,
khaki shorts
and
a flip-flop.
Yeah, Hawaiian shirt and a tank top. That was a fun moment. I really loved David Desmalchain as Polka Dot Man. I don't know. I like him in anything that he's in, because he's such a weird guy. He is the epitome of like, I know that guy from somewhere, because this I feel like, I guess, is probably
his
biggest
funnier in this than I think most of his other stuff. He either plays like a creep, like just a full on creep. He's not funny at all.
Yeah.
or like
yeah he's either way too much of a psycho or
like you think about like The Dark Knight, or you think about
he was in Prisoners.
He's
a weird snake guy in Prisoners that's super creepy that has that weird stuff going on. But then in
like Ant-Man, like he doesn't get the shine like he does in this. I don't think. I do like Polka Dot Man. He only throws polka dots, and then when he does throw the polka dots, it's like ultra violent.
I just love that. I love that is his power. Like they kind of like make fun of him. They're like, that's stupid. When you throw polka dots, and when he does it, they're like, yeah, he throws polka dots. That's actually what he does.
But yeah, I also really like his mom. Like how he that one shot where he's like, everybody is.
Where's your mother? She's everywhere. Even King Shark's his mother.
Like, yeah, just the way that they keep... I like that the actress that is the mom, like, I didn't recognize from anything, so it didn't, like, make it weird that it was, like...
Yeah, this is like, a random
actor. It's not, like, Melissa McCarthy or something. It was...
Yeah. Like, I enjoyed, too, the... He does it again when he's in the club towards the end, and it's, like... And then there's, like, his mother with a beard dancing next to him, and he's, like, letting loose.
Or when Starro's his mom, like, just a giant version of his mother.
He's fun. I loved his. He has a great final moment, like when he finally feels like he does something, and I'm a hero.
Even his first moment when they're like having the meeting, and they're like, "We're probably all gonna die," and he's like, "I wish."
I hope so.
Yeah,
he's great in this. Like he's such a subtle character too. He doesn't do too much, but he does just enough to like hang out with the rest of them and not feel like overshadowed by like the bigger characters all around him. I think he works really well, but his moment with Milton, I think is one of my favorite things. They shot Milton.
They had that good moment too, where like when they're in the bar and they're in there looking for the Americans. So you have Ratcatcher and him who don't look like Americans. So they're like, we'll just sneak out the back. But yeah, there's things that are funny in this movie too, like when they drive up in the van and the military just like lets them through. I'm like, what's happening? There's no question about it. And major like Stay Puffed vibes from Starro when you get him. Like he just felt like he's the Conqueror.
The Conqueror, yeah.
I was thinking like Choose Your Destructor, and it's just like this goofy starfish.
Yeah, he more or less like bumps into everything instead. It doesn't seem like he's very purposeful. It just seems like he kind of randomly runs into things.
Yeah, and even his like mind control. I like his mind control. It's a very distinct look. It kind of reminds me of like any alien invasion film, but I like that it essentially like gives them a look to their face.
Yeah,
it gives them like a very distinct look. And I do like I thought it was pretty clever too when you first see all the people that are like possessed by them or hive mind controlled by them, and you see that Thinker has been doing like questionable experiments on them, and you see like how they get into your face like the face huggers or something from Alien, but like it looked like once they're on your face, like you cannot remove them at all because of the way that they like attached like deep into your face.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff going on with him, with Starro as a character in general, but
a lot of stuff I like too, like when they kill one of the big characters and it shows like the inside, it shows their heart like stopping and stuff. I thought that was kind of a very cool effect. But all the characters in general, I really liked. I liked Idris Elba's like entrance for whenever he like they did the 8 minutes earlier, and then they brought him back to like his face off with Peacemaker. Yeah, Peacemaker is like the perfect villain because he's just the American concept of what a villain is.
Yeah, which is he has the best lines when he brings up when he mentions.
How he keeps peace.
He's like, I keep peace, and I'll kill any man, woman, and child that I have to keep the peace. And like everyone looks at him like, you understand how crazy that sounds, right? Like, or when they go to the mission to save Harley, and he's got eyes. He's like, I'm trained on the only person in the office, and it's just this random woman standing by the window. But he's like completely just ready to murder her instantly. Like he's like, I'll take her out as soon as you say the word. Like,
I got eyes on one of them, and I got eyes on cleaning a window.
Yeah, I'm interested to see what his TV show is.
Like, yeah, I think it was like the worst part was like I knew he was gonna live.
Yeah, because you already had that.
Or maybe I guess I thought spoiled. It could have been a prequel or something. But
I did kind of think that maybe it was gonna be like I don't know, a Black Widow thing where it was just gonna be his before. But I do like the way they're kind of setting it up. Like, is it gonna be? I don't know if it's going to be like a Punisher type thing where he just continues to be that kind of like psycho character that is way over the top in his quest for justice, or is it going to be
I think he's going to learn or become a hero, I think.
That's what I wondered, if it's going to kind of be more, because it does, like John Cena, I think, actually plays really well in that. I do kind of genuinely believe him when he says, like, he says he respects Rick Flag and, like, that he doesn't want to hurt him, and mm-hmm. you know, that he's just trying to follow his orders, that he truly doesn't want to kill people, but he's really basically like willing Davis to do
too. I thought she was great in this.
Yeah,
I like when that one side character where it's like she's threatening to kill children a lot, and they're like, that threat was fake, right? It was just like, right?
Yeah, the one guy's like, you wouldn't actually let you wouldn't actually do anything to his kid, right? And she's like, you don't even want to know the things I'll do to protect this country. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I said, I think even the goofy side characters that you get in the beginning, like Michael Rooker and Nathan Fillion and all them, are even fun for the brief moment that you get them. I think this is... Everyone in this movie is really... really well cast and plays really well together.
Well, like, some of the expectations too, and this is obviously going way into the end of the movie, when, like, you know, Harley has this dumb thing with the javelin where she keeps like, I have
I don't know why something. I don't know why that guy wanted me to carry the javelin,
and you feel like, oh, it's because she's going to stab Starro in the big eye that he can't close.
Yeah,
but it does play against your expectations, because when she jabs it, she just ends up like inside the eye.
Yeah,
like,
she just floats in there. Like, the rats get in there.
Yeah, the rat, like, it was Rat Catcher. And actually, it's really kind of funny because they make it out to be like this island that would be like littered with rats.
Yeah.
So I really did like kind of like that concept too. And I really liked Rat Catcher a lot. I like that moment where she sees Rick Flag get murdered. And it's just that, like, great point of view of, like, them looking at each other and then, like, looking at the hard drive and, like, yeah, taking it. Oh, even King Shark, too. Like, when he fell, I thought he was dead.
Oh, yeah. You know?
When he fell and they were shooting him up, I'm like, oh, damn, he's dead. But he was also really funny when they had the starfish that were trying to stick to everyone's faces.
And, yeah, like, they couldn't stick to his face. Yeah. Everybody else has to, like, cover Ratcatcher as the mask, and they're just bouncing off because his face doesn't fit.
Well, even when he was down there with, like, those weird jellyfish aliens or whatever the hell they were, like, that was kind of a funny moment too, where it's like they're super deadly and they're not actually, like, friendly towards him. Yeah. They just want to eat him.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great moment of he's playing with him and he's like, ha, look funny fish friends, and then as soon as they get out of the tank, they immediately start trying to murder them.
Most of, like, I bring it up all the time, but, like, the plants and the payoffs, like, James Gunn usually goes for a plant and payoff that's funny. Like when they showed the C4 person that they tried to make look like Peacemaker. But, like, it is really funny when you see that when it blows up, it's, like, the one that, like, annihilates the most people in that moment.
Yeah.
Or, like, the whole concept of, like, my bullet's smaller and it would go through your bullet.
When John Cena tells him that earlier, I use small bullets that would go through your hole without even touching the sides.
Yeah, and then when he kills him, or shoots him, and he's like, how did you do it?
Small,
like,
bullets. Yeah, I did like that. That was a perfect setup of a good plant and payoff from the very beginning of the film, and, like, you're almost kind of like waiting for that moment the whole time, because they are set up, like how Viola Davis brings up that they have the exact same plot and backstory, which I think is just a great nod to the fact that there are a lot of comic characters that have the exact same plot and backstory. Like, I mean, Green Arrow is essentially Batman. He has almost the exact same backstory, like Rich rich guy gets, you know, doesn't really have any powers, just trains his body to be, you know, the ultimate weapon, just plays it differently.
Somewhere for a little bit of time, and he kind of learns that he has to go back and clean up his city.
He does training in some far location to go back to his city and protect it. It's like, it's basically the exact same plot as Batman. So I did like that they even just set that up from the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, everybody was really fun. I really like the moments. Like, Harley Quinn I really liked in this movie, too. And I liked her a lot in her own movie, the Harley Quinn.
Her whole romance thing is, like, a really great little scene of her getting, like, they put her in the dress, and then, like, she just, like, is playing along with being with him, and then when he turns around and she just shoots him in the chest, and she's like, oh man, you know what they say, when you start seeing red flags, you just gotta cut it out and get out of here. And then when she's just like, I can't believe this gun had a bullet in it.
She also seems very genuine, like, about the fact that she likes him, but
yeah, but as soon as he starts them. As soon as he mentions killing kids, she's like, oh nope, I gotta kill him now.
Then she has that, like, psychotic moment where she's like, you kind of look more beautiful bleeding out like this. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, she's I don't know. I don't know what they did with her in Suicide Squad. I've never watched. I didn't watch it. But that was supposed to be the big, like, oh, we're bringing this character from the animated series into, like, these live action movies finally. And they did that really weird, like, I don't even know what to call them. What would you call the look that her and Joker have? They had, like, that really, like, what was that, like,
they have those SoundCloud Russian rapper look.
Yeah.
Face tattoos and everything.
I was thinking of those rappers that were in Chappie.
I mean, yeah, basically. It's basically the same thing. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Yeah, D'Antwoord. That's what you're thinking of.
Yeah, like, but I think that she's a really good actress. I think that she's just, like, a really weird thing.
Yeah,
and I know they were bringing up online again, like, I don't know why it keeps getting started, but it's Scorsese versus Marvel.
Yeah, every time there's
no sense to me, because Scorsese only ever said something one time about it, and they, like, I guess they questioned James Gunn about it, and he was like, yeah, he's probably only saying that because he's, like, jealous. I'm terribly misquoting him, but it was like, his movies just don't do that well, and that's why he's worried about it. And I'm like, I think he's mentioned Marvel like 3 years ago.
Yeah,
at this point. And if you think about it, you wouldn't even have Margot Robbie if it wasn't for Scorsese, because he basically discovered her and put her in Wolf of Wall Street. And
I feel like his big thing isn't even, I don't even know if it's Marvel. I think he mentioned Marvel by name, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's more like him just being like, I don't know, that stupid Joker movie basically ripped off, like, all of my films, and, like, people are hailing it as being, like, one of the best movies of all time.
I think he's a producer on that movie.
He is, maybe he couldn't say anything about that, but because his name's attached to it or something like that, but that's...
Yeah, like, you made this movie, and you made these two great movies, and they're basically ripping it off, and you're like, yeah, it's cool, I guess.
Yeah. Cool, yeah, best picture nominee for the movie that's my movies. Okay.
I don't know, like, I do like these movies, but I get excited for Scorsese's movies too. Like, he's doing The Killers of Flower Moon, and
yeah.
I didn't read the book yet, but, like, that's basically about our government that's, like, kills these Indians, these Native Americans, for their land so they can get this oil, like, and it's based on a true story. And it's like, I don't know. Scorsese's getting up there in age, so I feel like he's like, I gotta make all these movies.
Yeah, that's all he's doing. He's doing all his favorite, you know, The Irishman, and
he might end up like Clint Eastwood. He might not go, or I'm jinxing it poorly. And
yeah, you know, he's by gonna the time die tomorrow. Come
out, it's already happened. Yeah, he's definitely one of my favorite directors, and He doesn't really make movies like the Marvel movies, but he's made some funny ones, like After Hours, I think, is hilarious. And then he makes things like Silence, so...
Yeah.
I don't really know. I feel like a lot of times, like, I'm kind of, like, all over the place with what I like. I honestly thought that, like, the superhero movies, by this point, I would be tired of them. We've been going, like, what, 14, 15 years strong on, like, superhero movies.
Yeah.
And they did kind of start off all being very similar. Like, I remember seeing Daredevil and I'm like, it's not very much different from Spider-Man. It's almost like exactly the same script and not as well done. And now we're getting into the point where like superhero is just like the main genre, but not like the genre that overtakes most of the movie, if I make any sense.
Now you're getting to the point. You might have gone very far when you are getting to the point where people are playing multiple comic book characters. Like they are going like, oh, this is like my third comic book character I've played.
Yeah, especially like in this, like he Michael Rooker's been on both sides.
Yeah.
Or like you take somebody that's like older, like Chris Evans, who's technically done the Flame and
who's the Human Torch, and then Captain America,
Captain America.
We've already had Michael B. Jordan as the Human Torch, and then Killmonger.
Yeah, like, and we've then already you're gonna had have Christian somebody Bale else as the Human Torch.
We've already had Christian Bale as Batman, and now he's the villain in the new Thor movie.
Yeah, it's wild, but I don't really understand. Like, I think it's also about having fun, because like when we watched Loki, Richard E. Grant, like, it seemed like he just loved playing that variant of Loki. Like, I'm all for that. Like, if that's like, it's all about having fun with it, I think. Your movies don't necessarily have to be fun, but I don't know. I think Batman Returns is fun. I don't get something like Batman vs. Superman, which, like, really wasn't fun. I felt like I was trying to be tortured or something during that movie. I love Batman. But yeah. Right now, I know they're really pushing for this movie to be seen in theaters, and they were talking about how it was...
It's like the second lowest opening of any DC film.
Well, let's say this. August has always been a terrible month for movies. I don't know why. I don't know if it's going back to school or
probably
people trying to fit in things for the summer before the summer's over. But generally, it's like a throwaway month for stuff. Like, you don't start getting good stuff till about October again. So between like July and October, that's just like, who knows what we're going to get.
Also, it's already streaming. So
it's already streaming. Most people have the service, I think. And it's, like you said, like, you're getting this Delta variant that's going out right now.
Yeah, so people aren't wanting to go and do things as much.
Yeah. Yeah, it totally makes sense to me. It's kind of weird. I think the weirdest thing, and I've brought it up before on past episodes, it's strange how my love has always been going to watch things in, like, a theater. And I don't even have, like, the urge to really go see anything.
Yeah.
I have that mentality of like what a normal person would have had pre-pandemic, where I'm like, if I see it, I see it.
Yeah.
Also, we're in a really weird time where streaming is coming out at the same time or like very quickly after. Like, Quiet Place 2 is a perfect example of it was on Paramount Plus, and I hadn't even seen it that way. Like, 2 weeks later, it came out on home video, so I bought it that way.
Yeah.
It's like, I think Spiral was like the same thing. I could have rented it for like $5-6 or something like that, but I waited another week and then just got the home video version of it. I say home video because I don't know what the hell it calls. I got the 4K disc. But yeah, I honestly feel like when I saw that this was like getting like great ratings, like Metacritic I think was like 94 or something like that. And I watched the beginning of this movie. I was like, ugh. It really just wasn't not connecting really well until the real Suicide Squad showed up.
The real squad.
The B squad. Or what are they called? The A squad. I can't remember
I think they might have been listed as the B squad.
Yeah, which is even funnier, I think. Because it's like they make them out to be like they're not even the main Suicide Squad people.
I do enjoy that everyone in the office also, like, bets on who's going to be the ones to die.
That's when everything got really funny, yeah. I thought. The deaths were not, like, that funny. I didn't think that, like Pete Davidson getting shot in the. Well, I did laugh at the weasel drowning.
Drowning was the funny one. Yeah, that was the other one that was really funny.
Like, did you even see if he could swim? And I'm like, this is the greatest thing in the world if they're just killing him off like first thing in the beginning of the movie.
His was a good one, yeah.
And then he's played by Sean Gunn, so he lives in the post-credit scene, so I don't know if that means there'll be more of him or what.
We'll
the trailer did a good job of like making the, like whenever they did 8 days or sorry, maybe it's 3 days earlier and it goes back to Idris Elba and he's like cleaning up the prison and he's at one shot of the weasel like licking the glass.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, I remember that from the trailer. So it was something in the trailer that was in the movie, but it was also played in a way where it made me feel like that character wasn't going to die in the first minute of the movie. Michael Rooker was good too, because I don't know how the other movie worked. Did anyone ever get killed by the explosive in their head?
Yeah.
Oh, they did. I thought that was great that when everybody got murdered and he like ran for it and he got to die that way. I thought that was actually pretty cool. Cause yeah. I don't know. I was just feeling that no one died from their head getting exploded in the first movie. I also did they brought back, I also feel like, was it Jai Courtney who did Boomerang? Like they talked him into being like, you're only going to have to be in the movie for like a day.
They brought him back just to kill him.
Yeah. I felt the same thing with that, is his name Joel Kinnerman?
Yeah.
From, his big role of RoboCop. I didn't see RoboCop yet.
The Killing.
The Killing is like, yeah, Holder. Yeah, I remember that, where it was like Holder Smolder or something like that.
Yeah.
Steph's like, it says you like this Holder Smolder picture on Facebook, and I'm like, I just like The Killing. I don't know why it's showing that. It was just like, Justin likes The Killing, and that was the picture that showed. But, yeah, he's a good actor, too, and I don't think he's in enough stuff. But, again, James Gunn, his ability to balance a huge ensemble cast blows my mind. He does a really good job at, like, at least making everybody's moment kind of important. Because even the characters that like died off really fast, I feel like they all had a moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was good. I think it's worth people checking out. It's a solid movie when you got nothing else to do when you're sitting at home for the pandemic. You know, it's a fun time.
I'd recommend it even if your life was going well and you weren't bored. If everything was going your way, it's still kind of a fun movie. So, yeah. That would be our special The Suicide Squad movie. I gotta put the "the" in there, right?
Yeah, the separate.
We're getting a lot of "the" movies coming out. And we need to be right about it. Anyways, Chuck, thanks for throwing this episode together with me.
Yeah.
On Friday, we'll be finishing up the connecting theme with Arrival, and next week we'll be moving on to something else. Follow us on Facebook or Twitter. We're at Cinema d'Amore or / Cinema d'Amore, and that's where you'll get our teases and our ads. This should be pretty surprising because we didn't have any ads telling anyone that we were doing the Suicide Squad. It's just
there. Out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's just like, here it is. Enjoy. But, yeah, thanks for listening. Go back, check out some of our older episodes. Give us some feedback. Be like, you guys suck. And we're like, we know we do, but, we're trying, right?
We're giving it a shot.
Chuck, you look like you're dying right now.
It's hot.
All right. Chuck's hot. It's late. Thank you for listening.
Thanks.
We are Cinema d'Amore. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with news and information on upcoming episodes. Find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Podbean,
Spotify, Amazon Music, Audible, Pandora, Alexa, or iHeartRadio. It would be greatly appreciated if you subscribe to our podcast on your platform of choice. We also appreciate feedback, so rate us, review us, and let us know what you think. And above all else, thank you for listening.